guys, it's Trevor Sternad from the Black Dolly Murder here, and you're listening to the Toilet of Hell.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
So this is a special occasion. You are the only person we've ever had on this show twice. You're making a triumphant return.
You're making history, man. A triumphant return. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Last time we had you on just because I think we wanted to talk about like video games and stuff, which I still want to do because that's really, you know, one of the few things I care about. But you also have like brand new cool shit coming out. You've got a big ass tour coming with a lot of cool dudes. So like, I don't even know. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Let's talk about the new record, man. I'm pretty excited right now, I gotta say. The pre-sales are flying. We broke the pre-sale record at Metal Blade, like more than any other album ever so far. So
that is wild.
It's very, very exciting, man. Yeah, it's so cool, especially you know how hard it is to sell physical copies and stuff right now. So just to see the fans like showing up so hard and kind of unifying under this flag of trying to get us up there, man. So that's really cool. I appreciate it very much.
So yeah, it's almost, or it already is Metal Blade's 30th anniversary as well. So you've got like a lot of history there of sales numbers to just completely shatter through.
I mean, there's definitely like a lot of great big records on Metal Blade, you know, so it's a huge compliment, you know.
I was looking through, I saw an excerpt from Brian Schlegel's new book, and he mentioned you guys in this little excerpt that he apparently found you guys back in the day on MySpace, and that he poached you from possibly signing with another label. What was that experience like?
It was a trip, man. At that time, we had assembled these like a bio sheet, you know, where we talked about ourselves in the third person as how awesome we were. And, you know, we had our EP, Cold-Blooded Epitaph, and we had made a demo of three newer songs that would be on Unhallowed. And we basically sent this package out to 30 different labels, you know, big to small, just all the big guns that you know today, and a few, you know, smaller ones. And 28 rejection letters later, we heard from Willowtip, and we were very excited about that. And, you know, that was still an honor to me to be recognized by such an awesome label. And they've become, you know, such a greater force now than they were then. But that was a huge compliment. We were pretty excited about that. But while we were looking through the contracts there and kind of sorting it out, Metal Blade called eventually. And first it was Mike Faley, and I didn't know who he was at the time. I'd only known Slagle as the face of Metal Blade. So I was like, who is this guy? And it seemed a little suspicious at first. You know, I don't think we took it serious on the first phone call. And then they called back, and we talked with Slagle a little bit. And, you know, he's like, yeah, I'd really like to sign you guys, and, you know, let's do this. So, yeah, I'm guessing if he found us on the internet, then maybe he didn't get a glimpse of the package, or I'm not sure, you know what I mean? But yeah, we're very lucky, and I think he's wrong on the MySpace tip, because I don't think it was quite around yet. I think he might be thinking of MP3.com, so.
Mm. Okay, yeah, that would
remember that? Remember that era?
I do. I'm nostalgic for this shit now, man. I miss having, like, a top eight, and it seemed like every band on MySpace was just trying to write songs with nothing but the hardest breakdowns possible. Like, no song, just breakdowns.
I remember. Yeah, the race, you know, and then you had, like, Job for a Cowboy. They were, like, the original MySpace phenomenon band,
oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it just, yeah. Like, really took off for them. And I think it was a combo of said breakdowns and the right weird band name. And, you know, it just turned into this huge thing.
Yeah, I feel like that doesn't happen anymore. Like, no one goes, I found this band on Facebook and had to sign them immediately.
Right, for sure. You know, and the climate of things is definitely more congested than it was then, too. You know, you have Pro Tools and home recording coming into such prominence, and also outlets like Bandcamp that kind of act like a mini label, you know what I mean? So there's a lot of bands kind of doing it on a DIY level right now, and, you know, it's definitely an overcrowded scene in all walks of heavy music, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, there is an embarrassment of riches, but it's not the same. And I think that's just us getting old and crotchety.
yeah, definitely. I definitely feel like I'm getting older, you know. And when I see a 15-year-old kid in the crowd who looks at me and talks to me like I'm a super old wizard, it doesn't help, you know?
Wait, how old are you now?
I'm 36. I'm
Ooh.
The oldest in the band.
Ooh.
Yeah, ooh, that's the word.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get hung over like a real, real grandpa right now. It hurts.
We had Tony Foresta on the show. I had to ask him his advice for beating a hangover. And basically he said, everyone's dehydrated all the time. You just need to drink more water.
Yes, much water. I wish that there was like some kind of awesome remedy that would come out and change my world. But the pickle juice was a good revelation. Drinking the pickle juice out of the pickle jar the next day.
Yeah.
Lots of electrolytes in there, buddy. You know, it's a shock to the tongue there a little bit at first, but it works pretty good.
Like, picklebacks were like a cool hip thing for a while, where you'd take a shot of whiskey and then back it with a shot of pickle juice.
Yeah, that seems like a very New York thing to do. I've had it a couple times.
But every time I did that, I just drank a shit ton of whiskey, and it completely ruined whatever hangover prevention was supposed to be there. So tell us a little bit about this new record, Nightbringers. What can, like, I've listened to the self-titled track on this album, and it rips. What can we expect from the rest of it?
Oh, thanks, man. It's awesome. I think it's our most varied album for sure. It has each song has a really, really strong individual identity, and you know, it's our first album with Brandon Ellis coming into the fold on lead guitar, and he's a maniac, man. He lit such a fire underneath our butts here with his coming into the band, and I feel like he wrote some great songs for the album, which we didn't expect, you know. And Brian, I think, responded accordingly too, feeling like, oh man, I got to keep up with this little freak, you know. And so yeah, I think his touch and just made the record so awesome, and his leads are beyond impressive, man. I think he's one of the best lead players going in metal right now, and I think he's about to get a world of attention on his doorstep, you know, that he really deserves with this record.
I wanted to ask you, because I was looking through your pre-order bundles, like you said, it's selling like hotcakes. You know, your cassettes are selling out. You know, your special 420 edition is sold out. Not yet sold out is your jerky bundle. How did you get involved in the beef jerky game?
Well, I was conspiring with Kareem over at Indie Merch, and he was once our longtime tour manager. So I'm very close with him, and he still like helps us sort out artists and stuff like that. And we kind of looked to him for advice too, because, you know, him being in Indie Merch, he has a unique glimpse of the scene, kind of, I think. And, you know, we were like conspiring on different things to do, like getting with some beer companies maybe, or, you know, just some kind of small craft items that would be cool. And definitely, you know, appeal to our sense of humor, I guess, as a band, you know. So yeah, the beef jerky, man, it's gonna be awesome. I hear it's pretty hot.
Okay, I was gonna ask, have you had a chance to try it yet?
No, I look forward to it though. I really do.
So they didn't lay out a bunch of jerkies for you to like each sample and make sure they're
no, that right would to your be taste? Awesome. That sounds like a dream. Can I get that job?
It's a jerky sommelier.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
That's so rad. I love this poster that you guys designed for the special edition too, the playoff Detroit Rock City. Like, I've just been staring at this thing for a while, trying to figure out like every single character here. Like,
oh yeah, that's cool. We got some people from Metal Blade in there. You know, Slagle and Failure up front.
Who made
we
this?
We have
how did you go about designing this one?
His name's Ryan Pratt. We've used him before. He's obviously really good at caricatures. He did our cover for the Fool 'Em All DVD that was like that Metallica parody.
Oh yeah.
So we thought, wow, man, this guy could nail this. And you know, we're from Detroit, so of course Detroit Rock City. And yeah, just while I was brainstorming it, I was like, well, let me pick out some of these people that are going to be chasing us here, you know. So you got Mega Man, you got Freddy and Jason, and you know, lots of cool stuff. Some classic monsters in there. I believe he added the Unabomber himself. That wasn't a request of mine. That's awesome anyway. But Candyman's up in there. Also, we put who I believe to be our two biggest fans. And they're the heads of our Blaspheme fan club, Jarrell Sanchez and Kyle Gilbreth, and they're chasing us too. So a little tribute to the fans there, and they were pretty thrilled on that tip, so that was cool.
I can't imagine. That's so cool.
Yeah, man, just thought it'd be funny, you know. And I love those guys, and they do so much for us, man. I mean, they're the fan club I started to advertise about 3 years ago. You know, they had like a modest amount of members before that, but it's grown into this huge thing, you know, 10,000 plus people. And those guys are the biggest collectors of BDM stuff, you know, that I've ever seen. Between him and Kyle and Jarrell are just maniacs. And they're kind of like growing this culture of, I don't know, collecting our stuff, you know, and getting people like really hyped on that tip. And they've kind of like conspired to make this a big record. You know what I mean? And they're really doing their part for sure to spread the word and, you know, picking up multiple copies and just doing it, man. It's crazy. We owe a lot to them right now for this whole excitement.
Have you ever come across any like Black Dahlia Murder knockoff material? Like you see your name on top of the Saint Anger artwork and you're like, that's not us.
Oh yeah, dude, this is really funny. When we were in Mexico, not just now, but a different time we were out there. I mean, there's always like a bootleg market outside, especially in the bigger shows. And they had the album cover from War of Attrition by a Dying Fetus, but it had our logo just like put right over the top of it, basically. So it was like, yeah,
close skeletal enough.
Lips, you know, oh, no one will notice, you know. And they had a one that really stood out was the shirt was completely orange and it had a picture of our die cast belt buckle on it.
That is
that was wow. It. It was like just taken right off the merch store, you know what I mean?
I keep seeing it in my news feed on Facebook, like all of these like fly by night shirt shops, like they call their pages like for Black Dahlia Murder fans only or something like that, and just completely bootleg the merch. Have you had that happen to you?
Yeah, you know, I saw my own band in the margins there, yeah, you see bootlegs popping up every once in a while, but I don't know how they're doing this campaign, man. I feel like they're taking advantage of everyone. I see so many of those pages pop up, you know, and
yeah.
Definitely sell bootleg stuff, man. I don't know what we can do to like eradicate this thing, but it sure would be nice.
It sucks because I've seen my buddy's art like used on one of these things before. So I go through the site and I'm trying to like, well, how do you file a complaint? And it's like, well, you have to have your lawyer submit 12 pages affirming that you are the owner of this intellectual property. And like,
see, I knew it was going to be too much work and just too much paper chasing and stuff to like even attempt it. You know what I mean? So it's rough.
But these companies are definitely like enabling people to bootleg, so I don't know if there's something to be done about that, like collective action against these chumps.
These freaking chumps.
So I gotta ask, because I tried my damnedest to get one, and I know that you're a dude with some connections. Were you able to secure that coveted Super Nintendo Classic Edition Mini?
No, I was actually just looking at it today and checking out the stats and the game lineup for the first time. I'm interested in it for sure, especially if it could be hacked like the Nintendo version and, you know, you were able to put more games on it. But in the meantime, I still have a Super Nintendo that I play, have a ton of games. I'm definitely, you know, have a lot of retro game love for sure. So, you know, if they up the production a little bit this time around, which they said they're going to, I'll definitely try to score one for sure.
Yeah, man.
How about you guys? You guys get one or what?
I came so close to, like, buying one from, like, Amazon France and then realizing, like, I can't read French. So I don't know. I don't know if this is going to be totally useless to me or not.
Yeah, I guess it depends on how, like the menus and stuff, you know what I mean? If it's like some kind of cover-based thing, that would be easy enough, but otherwise.
Yeah, so
I don't know. Yeah.
I figured
yeah, my Super Nintendo still works, so I'm in no rush to get them, but it like turns out that old Super Nintendo games are like getting more expensive, even at like flea markets, people are starting to charge more than what they should be.
Yeah, you know, it's like eventually the stock is going to run out of what's out there, you know, or they're just going to be lost in some kind of limbo in somebody's garage sale or pawn shop or something, you know. So I guess there has to be a ceiling on how many games there are out there floating around. But yeah, I still have my Super Nintendo too. It's did yours turn yellow? Mine turned yellow. It's like disgusting looking.
It's been in a box for years. There's a slight tint to it, but it's still pretty gray and purple.
Right on. I would really like to play Super Nintendo with an HDMI compatibility. Like, that is the most appealing part of it to me.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I dropped a fucking mint on that analog NT to do that for Nintendo. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that was I'm still loving that thing, man. That's for sure. But yeah, I'd love something that could be compatible with like an EverDrive or something, so you can play all the weird Japanese games and stuff, and play everything that's out there. I'd like that.
So yeah, I mean, that's next on my list. I deeply regret selling all my original shit so I could buy, like, I don't know, Bubsy 3D for the PlayStation or whatever I did back in the day.
Yeah, you know, you always thought, like, the last system you had was just like, I hate this thing, man. No way. You know, this thing is obsolete, brother. <You
know? laughs> Exactly. Man, did you, I gotta ask because, you know, you're on the record as a fan as well. Did you catch the Castlevania series that came out on Netflix recently?
Yes, I did. I didn't see it immediately when it dropped, but I did watch all four episodes eventually, and I really like it, man. It's a little bit slow. There's so much like exposition going on, you know, but I think it's really cool, man. I think Dracula is perfect. That's like exactly how I imagined him. And, you know, he's just scary, bro. He's legitimately scary. And I like how it's, you know, Castlevania 3 tying into the Bloodlines era, into Symphony of the Night as well with Alucard, you know. So it's very, very cool for me. And, yeah, I like it, man. I really look forward to more for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it was very, very brief. I guess there were only, it was like four episodes, or was it three episodes? I can't remember.
It's four, but yeah, I agree, man. And like I said, a lot of the time they were kind of explaining the story, you know? And, so I believe there's a lot more action to come in the next, episodes, whenever those are coming.
I hope so. My girlfriend was watching and she's like, is Alucard, like, that's just Dracula backwards, right? I'm like, yes. She's like, that's really dumb. I'm like, yes, I didn't know that when I was a kid, though.
Yeah, you're like, you know, come on.
Last week, I wrote an article that got a lot of traction on the site talking about a local pay-to-play festival. It had, like, Unearth headlining, Through the Eyes of the Dead, and, like, 30 local bands. And, you know, a lot of people were talking about this, how it's like a constant problem in their individual scenes. Has there ever been a time where you guys have been booked for a show and then afterwards 20 or 30 bands have been thrown on?
Yeah, you know, it happens. It happens pretty often, actually. There'll be like either a second show going on in the building with a bunch of local bands playing like during the whole day, or, you know, they'll open the doors way, way early and tack on a ton of bands, and, shows just get turned into festivals really quickly at that rate, you know? And, I feel bad, dude. I feel bad for bands that get taken advantage of, like that have to sell tickets. That's such a dead end route to like getting out there, man. Like, I see it happening all the time, you know. Like, here, Harpo's is, like, notorious for that. People that go out and try to sell 100 tickets, Harpo's takes all the money, they stick you on before anybody shows up, and that's pretty much where it ends, you know what I mean? So it's just, like, I wouldn't suggest that route for any band.
When you guys were much younger, did you ever find yourself in a position selling tickets for a show?
Not with this band, but when in my band in high school, I played in this punk band, and we kind of fell for one of those schemes where it was a battle of the bands at a VFW hall. You sell tickets, they take all the money, and they give you some studio time, which is probably just their friend or whatever, you know what I mean? So they just made out like bandits. And, you know, it's kind of genius on their part, I guess, really, to have all these young bands come out and think that, hey, winning it is gonna like do anything for them, you know what I mean? But totally just robbing them.
Yeah, man, like that's the thing. It's mostly seems to be like younger dudes, they just kind of prey on them, you know. They're who was that guy from Making the Band? Was it Jordan? Who was it, Pearlman?
I don't remember.
Okay, well, that guy was also a sexual predator too, so maybe it's a little bit more severe.
Oh, he's got a few problems.
But yeah, it's such a shame that that promoters will basically take advantage of what should be a sweet, you know, bill, and then just stuff a bunch of people onto it. So
yeah, I do feel like it kind of makes it look cruddy. You know what I mean? I don't know. I like a concise bill, a tight bill. The less bands, the better, I think, man. You know, I'm ready to get this thing over with, dude. You know,
I'm with you. Although I will say that your tour that's coming up, it's a little bit of a longer bill than normal, and it looks real good. Like you've got some great bands on with you for support. I mean, Suffocation, like I saw them just recently with Morbid Angel, and just so good, just one of the best.
Oh,
bands
dude,
ever.
I felt the same way. I was so impressed with all the new members, and you know, I came in as the biggest skeptic, dude. I'll tell you first and foremost, you know, because Frank is like my god, and Pearson Within was my first death metal record, so, and my favorite still, pretty much. So, and I'd seen them with a couple other singers with varying results. And I felt like Kevin was great. I thought he sounded huge. I thought he had a good presence. Yeah, man, I think that they have some life left with this new thing. So, and obviously they haven't lost their momentum either. You know, that tour was really big. Morbid was really cool too, I thought, on that tour.
Oh yeah, yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Oh yeah, for sure. You know, I feel like I missed Steve Tucker's era, like while it was gone. You know, just. You know, I thought I wanted all Vincent all the time, but you know, that just didn't quite work out. And I found myself missing those Formulas songs and Gateways. And man, Gateways is such a great record. I think that might be the best death metal record after 2000. It's just huge.
I wanted to ask you, you've got, in addition to Suffocation, a couple other really just great bands on there. Decrepit Birth is. I'm extremely looking forward to checking that out. And Necrot, who's a newer band who's just killing it right now, was that your decision to have those guys on with you?
Well, Decrepit Birth kind of came on as a surprise, and I was like, wow, sweet. Now the bill just got even more insanely stacked. You know, those guys are friends of ours. I love their band, obviously. I think the new record sounds as good, if not better, than the first one, which I thought would be impossible. So, you know, I feel like they're going to have a really good time right now with this thing. And Necrot, I did hand select those guys for sure.
I feel like I had seen them in The Obituarist. I could be wrong. They've kind of been everywhere.
That's true. Yeah, they've been doing really well for themselves getting out there. They killed it on that tour with Undergang, and I saw them. I actually signed them on for the show like a week before I saw them, and I was like holding my breath, like, okay, these guys better be good. But they were. They were amazing live. So, also, I know their guitar player, Sonny, from his tenure in Watch Them Die back in the day. We used to play with them on a few tours. It would be like us, Goat Horde, and Watch Them Die over and over on every tour for a while. But so it's kind of cool to reconnect with that dude again. And I didn't even know he was in Necrot until after I put this whole thing in motion. So very cool.
That's rad. Speaking of The Obituarist, it's been on hiatus for a couple of months because you've had all kinds of shit going. When can we expect to get another edition of that?
Hopefully soon, man. I've been whacking away at it. But now, since I've been away for a second, there's so many releases I'm trying to cram into it. And there was a second where I was considering going podcast with it, but I kind of chickened out. And so I'm still kind of thinking about that. Kind of want to get with Metal Injection and talk to them. I'll be seeing them soon. I'm actually going to New York this weekend for that whole Metal Blade press frenzy / Brian Slagle book party thing. So I'll be seeing the guys there. But I look forward to coming back. I feel kind of embarrassed that I let it take a back seat, because I really do enjoy doing it. And I really, really enjoy helping out bands and, you know, bringing the spotlight to some cool bands that I like. So definitely got to come back, man. I'm feeling like I really need to.
I'm sure that your fans that are, you know, awaiting your latest record, your biggest yet, they're going to be deeply disappointed that you're doing that instead of writing a column instead.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess they hopefully understand right now. But, you know, this is like the excitement around this record we did not foresee. You know, like there's been an absurd amount of press, just like an almost unanimous reaction of a favorable reaction to the song, as far as I can see online. And that's been like, you know, remarkable. And just the pre-sales are flying, and I don't know, man, we're just preparing for the biggest era of the band yet, it feels like.
And in the meantime, you're still doing tons of guest vocals on all kinds of bands' records. Do you have anything coming up in the pipeline with that? Because I've seen just a ton of stuff that you post, like, oh yeah, by the way, I did really cool vocals with this really cool band.
I haven't actually tracked anything in a long time. They've just kind of been trickling out over time, which is cool. You know, I just looked at it as a way to kind of like keep our band in people's consciousness, you know, while we're away, per se, and also, you know, help some friends out, of course. And I only sing on records that I like for bands that I like, and I don't do it for money. You know, it's just, you know, it's just cool. But as far as our records go, I've never had anyone on it because I just feel like so guarded about not being able to reproduce something live. You know, mm-hmm. Like if we put we can't tour with Corpse Grinder in our van. You know what I mean? Or
we were considering doing an article just laying out like fan behavior that needs to stop. There's some obvious ones like, you know, don't yell Freebird at a show. Don't immediately come up to the band after they finish their set and ask what their pedals are. We wanted to kind of get your perspective as someone who plays a ton of shows all over the world, some fan behaviors that you'd like to see stop.
For me, it's, let's see. Mostly derogatory stuff about me being fat, you know? For real, I swear, it happens almost every night I take my shirt off. There'll be like 40 people begging me to do it, and then one guy's like, nice titties, and I just want to kill myself. So I'm like, thanks, yeah, this guy that supposedly respects me just has to shame me, you know? So, I don't know. I'm definitely over that tip. But let me think about what else.
Well, with that, you could always take some of your jerky, take a bite out of it, and spit it at him.
Oh, yeah, there you go, man. You know, that's a good look to be eating jerky during the show, too, right?
I'll show you.
Yeah, obviously, I don't care at all. But, yeah, you know, it's just, I don't know, man. I'm trying to think of something else. Yeah, you already covered the asking people about their equipment 2 seconds after they get off the stage, etc.
Moshing stuff that you don't want to see people do anymore?
Oh, I'm still for moshing. I don't know. People aren't, and I see arguments about that, you know, becoming more prevalent. But for me, I got to have some kind of melee going on out there so I can tell if the show is going how I want it to or not. You know, I appreciate a lot of that kind of energy. I love stage diving. I love letting people sing into the microphone. So kind of like a hardcore show aspect, you know, but a death metal show. But so, you know, well, I don't want to see anybody getting clobbered. You know, crowd killing is kind of moronic. And that's kind of come into fruition in the last while. More so in like metalcore and deathcore, I want to say, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen a bit of that, but it's generally like, I don't know, smaller shows, at least from my experience. And it's definitely like kind of meat-headed hardcore stuff instead.
Yeah, for sure. Going around in a circle and smack everyone in the head, you know? It's come to that.
The last time we had you on, we had you play a game with us called Horror Movie or Metal Band, where we'd give you a title and you'd have to guess if it was a horror movie or a metal band. Would you be interested in playing that again?
Of course. I did pretty good last time, if I remember.
You did. I think you got like a B+ on it.
Yeah, I haven't had one of those in a long time. It felt pretty good.
Well, hopefully you could put this one on the fridge as well.
Oh, so. Excellent.
There'll be some easy ones and there'll be some difficult ones, but we believe in you.
All right, man. Let's do it.
Number one, Chillerama.
Sounds like a movie.
It is a movie. It's a weird movie. Whew. It's a weird, like, compilation of different stories. I had a lot of trouble actually getting through it.
Is it old, or is it like one of those horrible straight to Netflix things?
It's straight to Netflix things.
Okay, yeah, it's a dark era for horror now, and that's my problem with it.
Yeah, you'll go on Netflix and be like, wow, there's so many horror movies, and then there's like two real ones.
Every right, one of those anthologies, like, is terrible. Just, they're terrible.
Yeah, how are there like sequels to Creepshow past two? You know what I mean? Like, what's up with that?
Spiritual like successor that. To Creepshow and stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, what's going on with that?
Number two, Demonic Toys.
Movie.
It is a movie. It's from like the Full Moon Productions, the same people.
I knew it. Puppet Master. Yep.
And I think they actually did a Puppet Master versus Demonic Toys movie.
Oh, nice. The mashup, the crossover we've all been waiting for.
People demanded it. Number three, Russian Hate Project.
Definitely never heard of this. I'm going movie again. I know it's probably not, but I just feel like I have to.
It is a band. I recently found them on YouTube. It's like a one-man project with a guy making gurgly noises.
Man, I knew you wouldn't do three movies in a row. I should have jumped at it.
Number four, Flesh of the Lotus.
Flesh of the Lotus. Movie.
It is a band.
Ah, guys are killing me today.
What does it sound like?
It's a Pennsylvania deathcore.
Oh. All right. Yeah. I can imagine exactly what it sounds like.
Some 808s going, some 8-string guitars.
Gotta hear that drop.
Gotta hear that drop. A vocalist that has the high and low vocal.
Hell yeah.
For sure.
Number five, The Void.
The Void. I feel like this could technically be both. I bet we could dig up a band called The Void, no problem.
Probably.
You know what I mean? Whether or not you have it in mind. And I'm sure it's a movie, too.
It is a movie.
Is it also a band? Because I feel like you...
Probably.
Okay. Let's call it both.
I don't know if they're technically... If we can find a death metal band. But
let's just say
there has to be a band called Boy, for sure, you know?
Movie was sick, though.
Yeah, I heard the movie was sick. I haven't seen it. I mean, it's pretty recent, right?
Yeah. I don't know. That was probably my favorite movie of last year.
Oh, that's cool. I really need to find some good newer horror. Like, I'm so, like, have so much trepidation about it. But I did, like, Get Out. I thought that was cool.
Did you see the new It?
No, I want to, though. I want to go pretty soon before I hear too much more about it. But I do like that it's doing so well. I love Stephen King. He's been a huge influence on me lyrically. And, I'm just stoked to see it. And stoked to see it maybe be a little shorter than the old one, you know?
Yeah, it's a little bit shorter and a lot less boring, in my opinion, than the Tim Curry one.
That's cool. I mean, of course, that was awesome in its own right, you know? But I think it could be cool. I look forward to it.
I'm sorry, Jordan. I keep fucking stepping all over you.
Number six, Eternal Halloween.
Ooh, man. I'm going to go movie, but I don't know for sure. But, man, that's kind of a shot band name.
It is a nu metal band.
Oh, see? There you go.
Now that's left field.
Complete with masks and all that.
Hell yeah.
Right, okay, right on. I have kind of gone down this nu metal rabbit hole in the last while. It's been really weird, and I don't know what's brought it on, but I've been digging in the annals of nu metal, all these albums I was too cool for, whatever, by the end of 1998. So, I don't know, it's been humorous, but kind of rocking. You know, it appeals to many different senses, you know?
What have you found that's been rocking?
Like Nothing Face. I never listened to them before. The record Violence is kind of cool. A little bit Glassjaw-ish at times, which I can dig. Nonpoint, first Nonpoint record. What else? The first Head PE. I heard that a little bit back in the day, but it's got kind of a Mike Patton vocal thing, which I like. But, you know, it's like guilty pleasure, but cool all at the same time, man. Have a laugh and, you know, it's, I don't know, it's just been fun.
It's, I mean, that fun and enjoyable. I don't know. I guess that's what music is supposed to be.
Right. There's do whatever you want and listen to whatever you want, even if you know that it sucks. You know?
Number 7, Gemini Syndrome.
I'm gonna go band. It kind of sounds like a nu metal band.
It's a nu metal band.
Hey,
and I think the guitarist from Cold Chamber just joined them.
Oh man. All right. Well.
For whatever that's worth.
Yeah, I don't know. More power to them.
Number 8, Battle Beast.
Battle Beast. I'm gonna go band.
It is a band. They're female fronted, I think, heavy metal, power metal band from Europe.
Cool.
Number 9, Nail Gun Massacre.
I'm gonna go band again on this one.
It is a movie.
I have to see this movie.
Is it Netflix? I know the name sounds pretty intense, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But I think it's from the 80s. I saw a trailer for it recently. It is very cheap looking.
Okay, word.
It's like a guy in a motorcycle mask shooting people with a nail gun.
Awesome. That sounds great. The Wraith with the Nail Gun.
It's a title for a next album.
Yeah, for sure.
And the very last one, number 10, Rock and Roll Space Patrol.
I'm going to go movie on this one, too.
It is a movie from Trauma.
It's the worst fucking movie I've ever seen.
How did something like that, you know, just something that would make Nukem High look good, you know?
I can confirm Nukem High is much better than Rock and Roll Space Patrol.
Yeah,
dude, Nukem High is awesome, man. I mean, it's awesome for the soundtrack alone, you know?
Definitely. I don't know, man. I love the look of the bullies in that movie. It's just the guy with the big fake teeth. He does it for me.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's super cool. I love when the dude drinks out of the drinking fountain and the slime comes out and then he like bubbles. So good.
Also,
so I think you got a passing grade.
Maybe I passed, but I don't know if I want to put it on the fridge this time, you know.
That just means you got to come back and do it again.
Yeah. I'm just going to gloss over this one in the eyes of my parents, you know, and, I'll you know, deliver the goods next time for sure.
They're not mad at you. They're just disappointed.
Yeah. There's always next semester, man.
Trevor, what would you like us to know? Just in general, what do you want the audience to know before we let you go for the day?
That we have a song dropping on the 18th. Will be the second reveal from Nightbringers. The song will be called Matriarch. And it'll be the first taste of Brandon Ellis's songwriting for the album. So I'm really eager for that to get out. And there'll be a third song eventually right before the album drops. But yeah, man, if you haven't checked it out, check out the new song. Check out the new record. Pre-order it. Become a part of the excitement, the world takeover that is we're trying to get going right now. That'd be very cool.
Hell yeah. Well, the new record, Nightbringers, is going to drop October 6th.
Excellent.
Trevor, thanks so much for coming on the show today again and indulging our stupid nerd impulses with us.
Oh, man, I definitely feel I fit right in with you guys, so I really was stoked to see your name on the list today. So thanks for having me again, man. It's fun, as usual. Awesome. And, yeah, man, keep watching those terrible movies. We'll be right back.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.